Good evening and welcome along once again to The Score programme, our Thursday night sports show here on Highland, where we review and preview all the latest in sport across the Northwest. I'm your host, Mark Gallagher, and ahead of a very busy weekend, we have a busy show lined up between now and 8 o'clock. So let's get straight into it then. What's coming up on tonight's show? Well, we'll be looking ahead to the big GAA games this weekend with Ryan Ferry, the sports editor of the Donegal News. In soccer, we'll be speaking with Darren Nash, who was part of the Fannin United team that claimed a dramatic Ulster Senior League title 20 years ago. We'll also be looking ahead to this week's League of Ireland games for Finn Harps and Derry City with Gavin Cullen. And speaking of League of Ireland, we'll start with a bit of big news off the pitch that reached us this morning. The news broke that Mark Connolly would be returning to Derry City as their director of football after leaving the club as a player back in November to go sign for Coleraine. I spoke to our Derry City correspondent Martin Holmes earlier today and firstly asked him his initial thoughts on the appointment.
Surprised, first of all. I wouldn't have thought of him as a candidate, given that he was still playing. He's 34 now, so he's sort of heading toward the twilight years. But I think he's a great appointment. He knows the league. More importantly, he knows the club. He's played for Derry. He's played in the league. He's had good experience playing in Scotland and England over many years. So I think all round it's a great appointment. Just reading some of the online comments on social media from supporters, a lot of them asking if he's bringing boots with him. So that would show you the immediate respect that he'll command and the delight amongst the supporters. So I think all round it's a brilliant appointment.
Yeah, and you mentioned there he's not long since he's played for Derry. So I suppose the club probably think that that's going to be an advantage too, Mark, the fact that he's not long since he's been playing at a high level and that he just left the club as a player back in November.
Yes, and I've met him a few times at matches as a spectator watching them, and so he'd be watching it with fresh eyes, just as a fan, I suppose. I would be surprised at the appointment in that Tiernan was the manager who let him go from the club, although he moved to Coleraine and they won the cup and he did well there. But it just seemed a bit of a surprise to me that he was bringing him back, or he's coming back under Tiernan Lynch's tenure. It might be a higher board level decision. But his experience and his knowledge, his passion, his commitment, he's just a perfect, the more I think about it, he's just a perfect person for that role. So he'll not be too long waiting to get started and get under the thick of it. And I'm sure he's got a few ideas and stuff. It's okay having people suggesting players from afar, which Derry have had in the past. But when you've got somebody who's, you know, a heart in the sleeve man like Mark Connolly, I think it's a much better proposition going forward.
So, logistically, what is this going to mean for the landscape at Derry City now going forward? What exactly do you think Mark's role will involve?
Well, director of football, he'd be looking at improving the playing staff. One of the things that I've talked about this many times over the years, because I've been covering Derry for Highland since 1981, and people tell the manager, whoever the manager of the time is, tell him this and tell him that and tell him who to leave out and who to play and he's done this wrong. That's not the way it works. But Mark will know areas that he will identify. Obviously, the manager will be driving this, I think, because he picks the players. But I think going forward, he'll be able to identify areas that Derry need help in or improvement in and where those players can come from. And I think, again, coming back to the fact that he's played at the club, he knows it inside out, that's a step up, a good positive for Derry, because this is a man who'll really be committed to doing it. He's not a guy who'll be coming in to pick up a cheque every month and, you know, cut through the work as best he can. He'll really be giving it 110%. So I think for the future, he'll be looking to see it. Talking about people telling me to tell managers things, Derry supporters want to see locals playing in the team, and they see players coming in from outside and people moan about short-term deals and, you know, players in big long contracts that aren't locals or aren't committed. So maybe Mark's joining the staff now will see more players maybe being brought through. It might not be a large number, it might be one or two in a season, but at least the fans can start to see local kids getting a chance to come through, then that in itself would be well worth his appointment.
For sure, and you mentioned the word positive there. It is surely positive, and good news ahead of tomorrow night's game against Bohemians, which is on the pitch, and Derry need to get back to winning ways, and this is all pointed towards an improvement in form on the pitch.
Yes, and I know Michael Duffy's had a good week in training this week, so he'll hopefully be starting the game. That in itself is nearly as good as a victory, having him on the pitch from the start, because they were so reliant on him last year, and he pulled them out of so many holes with goals and great pieces of play. So tomorrow night's a bit of a farewell to Celtic Park. They want to get back home to the new pitch at the Brandywell, and I just think the timing of this is very nice. They want to get a one at home. They need a victory. Too many draws. They have more than enough quality in their squad to get these points and go forward. And, you know, coming back after the break now, boys will come back refreshed and ready to go again, and they'll see this as a, you know, step now to get back away from Celtic Park, down the street back home to the Brandywell. So his appointment comes at a nice time, and I'm sure it'll be well received by the fans tomorrow night at the game.
That's our Derry City correspondent, Martin Holmes. Well, after a two-week break, Finn Harps and Derry City both return to the pitch tomorrow evening in the SSE Airtricity League. Harps welcome Willie O'Connor's UCD to Finn Park in the First Division. The students are second in the table and well on course to secure a promotion playoff spot. Kevin McHugh's side, however, are languishing at the other end of the table in eighth spot with just 4 wins from their 18 games. In the Premier Division, as we heard Martin allude to, Derry City welcome Bohemians to Celtic Park, with the home team aiming to claim their first win since April. I've been speaking to former Finn Harps captain Gavin Cullen to preview this week's games for Harps and Derry, and it's maybe important to note that we recorded this piece before the announcement came of Mark Connolly's move back to Derry. We're back after the wee brief break in the League of Ireland. We'll start with a chat about Finn Harps, and the break possibly came at a good time, a bit of a reset for Harps after a bit of up and down form, really.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose they won two and then lost two and drew one of the last five games. So they probably had a wee spell where they looked like they were looking up the table, and then they ended up going into the break looking down the table again. So, yeah, they probably needed the break, probably needed the reset to refresh themselves and get ready to go again, you know.
So heading into this second half of the season, Harps sitting eighth in the table. What do you think the conversations will have looked like over the last couple of weeks for Finn Harps at the training pitch? What do you think realistically will be achievable between now and the end of the season at Finn Park?
It's a difficult one. I suppose a lot depends, like, for management and managers, I suppose, where they're looking at the minute. They're probably looking into the transfer window to see how they can strengthen, how they can improve. Does the budgets allow it? Do they have to offload players to bring players in? A lot of that, obviously, sitting eighth, only a few points off the bottom of the league. They won't be happy with where they're at performance-wise or results-wise. So they will be assuming they'll be looking to make changes with player personnel, because obviously they need to vastly improve. They're only one result away from being bottom of the First Division, which is really poor for Harps. But on the flip side of that, they're probably only three or four results away from pushing the playoffs, you know. Wexford are in that position at the minute, but they've lost four of their last five games, so they're not in a really good run of form. So, look, I would say they're looking seriously at the transfer one to see if they can improve, and as I say, can they bring in players? Can they afford to bring in players? Probably the biggest thing for them, you know.
Yeah, and it all starts this Friday at home to UCD. This fixture earlier in the year actually produced a fairly impressive result for Harps. They were 2-1 winners at home. But since then, the sides have kind of gone in opposite directions. How do you see this one going on Friday?
Yeah, again, that was probably maybe Harps' best result of the season, or one of them. You know, they would take great, because over the years, UCD seemed to have the upper hand in Harps most times they've played them. So they would take good confidence in that. But then they've obviously went to UCD since then and lost the game. So like, UCD are a good footballing team. If the surface is good and Finn Park, you know, you'd expect UCD to dominate the ball and dominate possession. Harps are a lot more direct and a lot more physical. So, look, and they'll be hoping that being at Finn Park, you know, after, I suppose, pulling a result out of the bag in the last home game with a very late draw, they'll be hoping to get a bit of impetus for that. But if you're looking at form, you're looking at where the teams are, like, you would expect UCD to start favourites. But, look, we all know at Finn Park, nobody likes coming there, and they'll make it as difficult as they can as well for UCD.
And just a word on UCD, Willie O'Connor, you'll know him, an Inishowen man. He's done a great job with the students. At this stage in the season, they're sitting second, and you'd have to see them as genuine promotion candidates this year, would you?
Oh, they are. Aye. Look, they're heading the bunch behind Cork. They got close to Cork a few weeks ago and then had a couple of poor results. No, look, I was speaking to William, though, they coincided, I suppose, they're all students and they coincided with exam time and players not available because of that. And also, look, there's reasons why, but when they get their full team out and William has been playing a really good brand of football, they're nice on the eye, you know, maybe physically, maybe not as strong as some of the other teams, but look, They'll be expected, and I think William expects them to be right up there challenging this season, and they have been, you know.
Yeah, well, we'll have updates from tomorrow night's game with Jeremy Doherty from the quarter to eight throw-in. In other games, league leaders Cork City are away to Wexford. Kerry host Athlone Town, and Bottomside Treaty welcome Bray Wanderers to Limerick. So on to top flight matters, Gavin. Derry City return with another game at Celtic Park. This time the visitors are Bohemians. As simple as it might sound, but Derry really need to start winning games now, Gavin.
They're desperate, yeah. Suppose there's a lot of media tension and media talk, you know, look, I'm calling for the manager's head, and it might be just as straightforward at that, but like Derry City never would have expected, with the budget and the players at their disposal, they'd be coming in 18 points behind Shamrock Rovers at this stage of the season. Looking closer to the bottom than they are to the top, which has surprised everybody. I know it's not ideal having to move ground and playing Celtic Park and stuff like that, but it's been running the whole season. Even when they were at the Brandywell at the start, they had poor performances, some poor results in it. It hasn't improved. So they have 4-1s from the first 20 games is majorly disappointing from the level of expectation that's on Derry City at the moment.
And you mentioned it there, they're 18 points off the top of the table, but they're only 3 points above that relegation playoff spot. Surely it would be just inconceivable to think that they could get dragged into a relegation scrap, but at the moment they are kind of looking down rather than up.
They are, right. Look, they're only three. Sligo are in the playoff position. Sligo have a game in hand on Derry, and they're only 3 points behind them, which, again, like it feels inconceivable. I don't think it'll happen, but you never know. Like, football's a funny game, and it's a result. Business, and when you're not getting results in the run of form Derry are on, I'm not too sure when the last one was. It's 6-7 games ago. Yeah. You know, it's hard to switch it on again, you know, hard to turn the corner, and they'll be feeling the pressure. And Bohemians, like, great run of form for the last five they've won. So by no stretch of imagination is anything a given for Friday night for Derry. So like a bad result there, like they're really looking down the gun of a barrel of a gun as such, and you know, they're under pressure. Like.
Yeah, I did ask you this question about Harps, but I'll ask you about Derry as well. What do you think their aims will be now for the second half of the season? Obviously, they'll be trying to leave the first half in their rearview mirror and kick on up the table as the first half of the season we touched on. It was a disaster, really. What will the realistic aim be at the Brandywell now for the second half?
Oh, they'll have to take one game at a time, as they say in football, and start building results, start building a bit of momentum, start to climb that table. They've obviously got Europe as well coming up, which is going to stretch their squad in terms of one eye on that. But look, it's so important for Derry to be on around the top of the table, get a cup run together. I know there's a lot of sort of rumours and talk of players moving on and players maybe going elsewhere. So again, there'll be a pressure to replace them players as the players available, what's going on. So, look, just doesn't, from the outside looking in, it just doesn't look a happy camp at the minute. Like, but again, that comes with the results, a couple of results, and things look a lot better from everybody's perspective. So they'll be trying to push up the table. They'll be trying to get a run of games, a run of results, but that starts Friday with trying to get one on the board first.
That's it. In other Premier Division games, Shamrock Rovers are away to Shelburne and a Dublin derby. St Pat's host Drogheda, Dundalk go west to face Galway, and the bottom two sides meet at the RSC, Gavin. Waterford playing Sligo. That's a big game. A home win could, you know, give Waterford a bit of a lifeline and pull them within 5 points, but I suppose on the contrary, defeat would really cut them adrift of any chance of staying up, really.
Yeah, that's a huge game for Waterford. I'd say you're right. I'd say if they lose that game, they're probably staring down the barrel of First Division football next year. They'll be 11 points behind Sligo with only 11 points on the board. So it'd be a difficult one. So it's a massive game. But Waterford have improved over the last few weeks since Graham Coughlin come in. They definitely improved a bit. So look, nothing's a given again.
That's it. And before I leave you, Gavin, how are things going with the preparations for the upcoming National League? It all kicks off at the end of August. We learned who the opponents would be in the group stages, and I'm sure everyone at Cock Hill is ready to get going.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, everybody's very excited about it. There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes. Patches getting redone. Committee and club are working very hard with partnerships and sponsorships and bringing people on board. On the playing front, we have three new players coming in at the minute. We're hoping for a fourth to add to the squad, to strengthen the squad. We've strengthened conditioning coach coming in. We've a new goalkeeping coach coming in. So all that's all positive and really exciting. Obviously the players are off at the minute. We're not back into the start of July, so they're hopefully enjoying their break and not having to listen to ourselves every week. So no, it's all good. As I say, it's the off season for us. We're enjoying it, not having to be at training and matches, but at the same time we can't wait to get involved in this league, and the excitement's certainly building for it, you know.
There you go. That is former Finn Harps captain Gavin Cullen. Gavin, of course, also the current boss of Cock Hill Celtic, who will enter the new National League in August. Well, let's stick with the theme of local football for now. This Saturday will mark 20 years since Fanny United's most famous and most dramatic Ulster Senior League title success. Back in 2006, Fanny had a number of cup runs and even got to the semi-finals of the FAI Intermediate Cup, but this meant they were running behind in their league games. Kildrum Tigers had completed their Ulster Senior League campaign with Fannad 21 points adrift, but with 7 games in hand, crucially. And remarkably, Fannad won all 7 matches to set up a playoff for the title with Kildrum in what was the late Ollie Horgan's second season in charge of Tralee. And in the never-to-be-forgotten decider, there was more late drama. For Fannad goalkeeper Darren Nash, it was his second season at Fannad, and one that he recalls fondly. Chris Ashmore has been speaking to Darren about a title race that has gone down in history and is unlikely to be repeated.
I suppose we were under a lot of pressure with 7 games to go, and Kildrum had played all their games, 21 points ahead. And that particular season, we had a good run in the FAI Intermediate Cup, and we were knocked out at the semi-final stage. I can't remember how we got on in the other cups in the county, but it left us anyway that we had a number of league games postponed, and ended up having to play more or less 7 games in just over 2 weeks. Yeah, you know,
so 7 games, you had to win all 7 to get the title.
We had to win all seven.
An extraordinary target to have. So you needed the 21 points, and so it all began. I'm just looking at the results here. Swilly Rovers at home 3-0, Killay at home 2-0, Cockhill at home 5-2, Drumkeen away, and that was a tight one, 3-2, Cager Rovers away 4-0, Letterkenny Rovers with Arthur Lynch getting a last minute winner 2-1, and then Convoy Arsenal 2-1 to set up that playoff with Kildrum for the title. So bring us back to those. Well, I mean, it was the proverbial game by game. You just could not slip up.
Well, that was it. The pressure was on, and I suppose ordinarily you'd be thinking at that time of the year teams are just playing out the league, and but that particular time there was a lot of press about it, and you know, each team seen it, I think, as like a summer cup final or something, and you know, we got a couple of really really tricky games, you know, and you know that one you mentioned there, the like Drumkeen, we were 2-0 down, I think, until maybe about 20 minutes to go, and young Kieran Sharkey scored the third to get us the win, and Letterkenny, Ardy scored the goal in the 89th minute, but I think we were 1-0 down, and Davy Deary scored possibly around the 86th minute or something like that, so 2 goals in 3 or 4 minutes, and that set us up nicely then for Convoy away, and it came really really tight game and ended up winning it 2-1, so that took us into the playoff then in Ballyar with Kildrum.
And that playoff, there was a great crowd there that night. I mean, one of the best Ulster Senior League nights of all time. You won in the end, 2-1. Paul Lynch, I think, scoring, is that right, for Kildrum?
He did.
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
And
he played for us the previous season.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And then Marty McAteer equalising and then grabbing an extra time winner. I mean, it really was fairy tale fanned stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Look, it's something, I suppose, when Ollie passed away there, it was, you know, you'd be reminiscing about, I suppose, all the old football stories and all the rest, you know, but that was obviously one of the topics that would have come up, you know. But, listen, great memories, and, you know, it was a great night's football in Ballyar. Like, there wasn't much between ourselves and Kildrum over those number of seasons, you know, but they had a really good side now, and they scored a lot of goals, but we always just seemed to edge it in those tight games with them. And that particular game there as well was the same, you know. It was a great strike by Marty then. It was a fitting goal to win the league, you know. It was about 25 yards out and just caught it nicely and hit the underside of the bar. And that was late on in the game and that sealed it for us.
Now, Fannad United had many great days, and the late, great Ollie Horgan, he had taken over the year before and had brought in quite a few new players, and there was a bit of a changing of the guard down at Fannad.
Yeah, there was. Listen, there was still a good core there that had been there before under Eamon McConaghy as well. And Ollie brought in. Ollie, obviously, everybody knows the story with Ollie now. You know, he had his own ideas in football, and he had identified a number of good young players as well. And look, it didn't take him long getting us around to his way of thinking and how we play, you know. And that particular season, he had young lads like Gareth Harkins signed, and David Walsh, young Colin McConaghy, Kieran Sharkey, you know, and PJ Hagan was another one. So look, you know, then you blend those in with a lot of experienced campaigners as well. You know, when I say experienced, we're kind of in our, some of us were in our mid to late 20s, you know. It was a good blend. It was a great dressing room, and, you know, really good. Over those number of years now, they're really good squads to be involved with, you know.
And if you cast your mind back, that was your second season with Fannad, I think. Is that right?
That was my second season there, yeah.
And at the start of the campaign, I mean, did you feel you were going to be title winners? I mean, that was obviously the aim.
Yeah. Listen, even the previous season, we were pushing hard. We won two cups, and we won the Knock Gala and the League Cup, and we were pushing hard for the league. We got a good run then. Well, we played in the FAA Senior Cup. We played Shamrock Rovers in Dalymount, and we were narrowly beaten 2-0, a really good Shamrock Rovers side under Roddy Collins. And that's where we lost the likes of Gareth Harkin and Davitt then to League of Ireland. You know, I think they might have went directly to Harps at that season, I can't remember. But then with other young players that we brought in, or that Ollie brought in, like Christy Cunningham, and Fergus Callaghan was there, Sean McIlwain was there, and Kieran Sharkey, PJ Hagan, you know.
And your own career, many great games, many great memories. Did you ever play up front or any other positions?
Never. Gaelic football would have played outfield, but no, never up front or anywhere else like that. No, but I was always happy to be a goalkeeper. I loved diving around, and it's something. Look, I like, and I still enjoy working with young goalkeepers. Like from a coaching point of view, you know. So, I had no major desire to play out the field, you know.
Yeah, and even last season, you were still registered as a player as part of the Fannad United team. So we understand you're a free agent open for Manchester City offers and things like that.
I don't think there's going to be too many people coming in for a 52-year-old, Chris. But no, listen, I was registered, but it's hard to get young goalkeepers that want to sit on the bench anymore. So you'll find that a lot of goalkeeping coaches end up sitting on the bench as well, just in case. And maybe some of them hope to get on that. I was happy enough just to sit on the bench, to be honest, you know.
Now, this weekend, tell us what's going to happen down in Trialloch. There's going to be many familiar faces down there, I suspect.
Yeah, there is going to be, you know, and there's a lot of players, even not just that particular year from, you know, but even during all his time, there'll be a lot of those players there. And just having a small kick about earlier on in the day, and then everybody's going to go in and watch the game. Arthur Lynch Sr. had videoed the game versus Kildrum on that night, you know, so they're going to watch that. And and as far as I'm aware, some of Ollie's family is going to be down as well, you know, so I think the club's having their own presentations then later on that evening.
And it's, you know, great to see many members of that team that a lot of you still do keep in touch and keep an eye on each other. And but when you look back, certainly fond memories.
Yeah, like I said, Chris, you know, they're like those years just blend into one now. You know, there was a lot of very good footballers down there, but, you know, even better people. And, you know, you had even the backroom team there, then you had the likes of Colin McConaghy with Ollie, and Tommy Harkin was ever present as well. So, you know, there was a lot of good youth players coming and going too that the youth team used to train with us as well. So, you know, really happy times. And, you know, like I said earlier, a great dressing room and, you know, great memories. And like they all blend into one now. Sometimes it's hard to remember one season from the other, but that one there now will stand out for those seven games in particular, you know.
And things do come in cycles. You get your good years and your bad years. And Fannad, of course, have had success in recent times as well. And it's, I suppose, a testament to the club that, you know, people keep going back. There's always a few old heads there and continuing to attract in new young players. And the future is certainly still very, very bright.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Fannad didn't win a league this year now, but at the same time, you know, they're only ever a couple of players away from having a winning team again, you know. But no, some very good young players coming through there. And it's just a matter of getting experience and getting a few wins and confidence under their belt.
And finally, Darren, just your thoughts on the new third tier. It's certainly going to shake things up a bit. There'll be certainly a lot of competition to get players signed by some of those clubs who will be in that third tier. And across the border, of course, your Limavady's, your Castle Durgs, your Strabane Athletics, your Institute. There's a limited pool of players, but there'll certainly be a lot of managers doing a bit of scouting around in the next few months.
Yeah, listen, it's a tricky one. There's been a lot of debate about it, Chris. You know, should the League of Ireland been pumping more money into the first division and making it stronger, making the infrastructure stronger? You know, there's a lot of that. One thing for sure is, look, you know, there's going to be plenty of football for any young fella that wants to you know, step up to the next level and give it a go. You know, there's going to be plenty of football, whether it's here or in the Irish League and all, you know. It'll be interesting to see how things goes, you know.
Former Fannad United player Darren Nash taking a trip down memory lane with our own Chris Ashmore. There's a game at Tralee this Saturday at 4 o'clock, and some well-known faces from previous Fannad teams will be in attendance. There'll also be a presentation to the family of the late Seamus McGinley, who passed away last year. Seamus, of course, did the gate at Tralee for many years. Now it's time to take a break here on the programme. We've got Ryan Ferry on the line, and we'll be chatting about a busy weekend on the Gaelic Games front after these. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the programme. So it's a busy weekend ahead for Donegal GAA and LGFA teams. On Saturday at 3 o'clock, the senior men's team play Cork in round 2A of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship at Sean McCool Park in Ballybuffet. That evening, the Donegal Miners bid for All-Ireland Tier 2 glory when they take on Louth in the Paul McGuire Cup final at the Boxed Athletic Grounds in Armagh from 7:30. Donegal's senior ladies team get their All-Ireland Senior Football Championship up and running with a trip to Parnell Park to face All-Ireland champions Dublin on Saturday at 3 o'clock. And before all of that, there's silverware on the line for the Donegal Under 20 ladies as they contest the Ulster Under 20 final against Tyrone on Friday night in Fermanagh. So I'm joined now by Ryan Ferry, the sports editor at the Donegal News. Ryan, I know you're a busy man getting ready for a hectic weekend, so thanks for popping on for a chat. How are things?
Not so bad, Mark. It's a real real busy weekend. We had, quite a quiet weekend last week, and it's all coming at once this weekend. But sure, it'll be good crack when it gets going.
That's it. Loads to get through then. We'll start with the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. Obviously a massive occasion for Donegal on Saturday against Cork. Before we chat about the football, we weren't really sure if we would see Donegal play at Sean McCool Park this year, but we're here now and it's going to be a full house, 16,600. It's going to be lively to say the least.
It certainly is. I suppose McCool Park has been shut from late last year, and you know, at the time you were wondering when would it be back open. You know, there were some people who were speculating it would be open for the Ulster Championship. Others were saying it would be a county final time. You know, so I think the fact that it is open for this All Ireland Series group or All Ireland Series game is a huge boost to Donegal. You know, it's the home of Donegal football, and you know, that's not to have say anything against O'Donnell Park or Father Tierney Park and the St Unions and Airua Club, and you know, obviously their volunteers have done huge work to get the both of those pitches up to spec. But you know, McCool Park is the biggest ground. Donegal have a very good record there, and we're all looking forward to getting back to Balbuffet on Saturday and hopefully seeing a Donegal victory.
There's been an awful lot made of the TV or not TV stuff in the lead up to this game, but let's leave that aside and talk purely on the football. Cork are coming to Balbuffet on Saturday. They'll be more than up for it. So what are the threats that they'll bring, and what can Cork do with the weapons they have to disrupt this Donegal team?
Well, it's only 2 years ago that we went down to Parky Rin, and Cork defeated Donegal by 2 points. It was quite similar, really, Mark. You know, Donegal were coming in off the back of a big victory, and people weren't Cork a chance. Now, obviously, you know, Cork had home advantage for that game. You'd be thinking that Donegal, you know, have been, that was a warning shot for Donegal, and that they'll be fully prepped for this game. But you know, Cork definitely have good players. You know, Stephen Sherlock, I think he got 14 points against Meath. You know, he's a real 2-point shooter, and he's going to be a big threat. Chris Oak-Jones, you know, you've Conor Corbett coming off the bench, he's a good player. Mark Cronin, and they have a lot of big players. You know, they've the likes of Sean McDonald, Rory Dean, Ian Maguire as well. So you know, I expect a lot of balls to be going out long around the middle, and a real contest for it. And you know, they're hard running. You know, when we played against them 2 years ago, both in the league and in that game in Parky Rin, their hard running caused Donegal problems. You know, so that's something that Donegal will have to be wary of. But you know, it's a big opportunity for the team at the same time.
With regards to Donegal then, do you expect to see anything different from Jim McGuinness's setup to nullify those threats, or do you think it'll just be a case of let's go head to head with your best against our best and see who comes out on top?
Yeah, well, I suppose, Mark, you know, there's very rarely a game where Donegal play where it's the exact same team goes back out the next day. There's usually a tweak somewhere along the way, or even a positional change. So yeah, I would imagine there'll be something, you know, to shake it up a bit, and you know, just to try and keep Cork on their toes. But like, if everybody is fit and came through the Kerry game and has come through the last couple of weeks unscathed, you know, you have a lot of that team are likely going to start again if that is the case. You know, because you know, Donegal have a lot of seasoned campaigners there with a lot of experience, a lot of appearances for Donegal, a lot of know-how, and you know, a lot of minutes from over the course of the season. I suppose the big one probably, Mark, is that Shane O'Donnell, the joint captain, only came off the bench against Kerry, and you know, you'd imagine that Shane is very firmly in the plans. If he's back to full fitness now, that you know, he'll be pushing for inclusion this weekend.
So, if you were to get your prediction hat on, Ryan, how do you think this game's going to pan out? What way do you see it going?
Yeah, I think Cork will put it up to Donegal. I think they'll bring physicality, but I think there's not going to be a lot of Cork people here. I think there's going to be a lot of Donegal folk in attendance, green and gold everywhere, and I just think the energy of that's going to be massive for Donegal, and I think they'll come through by a few points.
Good stuff. Well, we'll have full live match commentary from the game here on Highland Radio with Oisin Kelly, Brendan Devaney and Brendan Kilcoyne. Our build-up will start around about 2:30 on Saturday afternoon. So Derry are playing Meath on Saturday night. That's in 2B. Ryan, that actually might be one of the harder games to call this weekend. Would you agree?
I would say so, yeah. And I'd say probably the biggest game of the Championship weekend. You know, one of these sides is... It's going to fall this weekend, and the summer is over, you know, for them. And both teams would have had high hopes going into the year. You know, Meath were in the All-Ireland semi-final last year. Derry had new management and, you know, fresh vigour. But, you know, both of them just hasn't quite happened. Like, you know, disappointing provincial campaigns and lost the first day out. And that leaves them at the last chance saloon, like, you know. So Derry have home advantage. That's big. It feels like a big game for Derry, Mark. You know, it's a couple of years now since they really made an impression in the Championship. And if they peter out again, namely... This week, you know, I'd say there'd be question marks about, you know, just where it's going for some of their older players at that stage, you know, and the belief in the process and the journey they're on. So, you know, you'd imagine there's going to be a big performance from Derry. There has to be, you know, and Meath are down Rory Kinsler, who's a really good player. He's done his ACL, but, you know, Meath have been impressive. You know, when they beat Derry in the league in Croke Park, the first day of the league, I was at that game myself. It was a good game, but, you know, Meath were full value for their victory. So, going to be a really tasty one in Celtic Park Saturday evening.
And then moving on to Sunday, Tyrone facing Mayo. That's in round 2A. That's in Omagh. Two of the big hitters in the world of GAA here in the country, Ryan, going head-to-head. That is shaping up to be a really good game as well.
Yeah, I suppose it's funny you say big hitters, Mark, and... You know, very much widely considered to be big hitters over the last 15, 20 years. But, you know, in terms of people talking about all Ireland contenders, nobody really mentioned either of these counties. So, you know, has their stock fallen? You know, are people sleeping on them a bit? You know, it's going to be an interesting one to call. Like, you know, I suppose you can never write off Tyrone. Like, you know, they're always capable of pulling out results. You know, they got to the All Ireland semi final last year. It's probably been a lack of consistency with Tyrone being able to put back-to-back performances together. They lost to Mayo last year in Omagh. So, you know, I suppose for Tyrone, they've had all that underage success, but they've got to start to step up and make it count at senior level. You can't always be waiting for tomorrow. And, you know, they've a lot of talent. The Mayo thing is funny. You know, started the year very impressively, but you know, they've had some poor performances. You know, when big days, you know, against Donegal and O'Donnell Park, against Kerry, against Roscommon, and even the last day against Monaghan, like, they were flying, and Bobby McCall comes on and causes havoc, and, you know, they're very lucky to get away with a 1-point victory. So yeah, it's going to be a big one. Tyrone don't you know, whatever's happening, Tyrone, there seems to be a bit of a loss of connection. You know, the fans haven't been coming out to Healy Park to support them, and it'll be very interesting to see the attendance figure on Sunday. But, you know, Tyrone have got a sense that this is a big opportunity for them.
And lastly on this competition, Westmeath and Mark McHugh's journey continues. They're away to Galway on Sunday, also in 2A. There's just, I think Westmeath will come into that game fully believing that they can beat Galway. What do you think, Ryan?
I think so. You know, I was listening to somebody the last day. Mark was saying that they've won 5 championship games in a row, and that's the first time in their history that they've done that. You know, which shows they're on the crest of a wave. You know, and like Pearce Stadium is a big ground and it's a sellout. You know, Westmeath people are really getting on board with the team, and you know they've had setbacks, you know, in terms of injuries, but, you know, it just seems to be the next man up. And Mark McHugh has done a fantastic job with the Lake County this year. So, you know, this is another big test, and people will probably be thinking that the run's going to come to an end in Galway, but, you know, people have thought that before and it hasn't quite materialised. So, you know, I would expect that they're going to be really competitive, but it's going to be an interesting to watch where Galway are at. You know, I suppose you're looking at Galway, they lost the Connacht final to Roscommon, but played reasonably well that day. And they're definitely a team that have a lot of good players and could be real genuine All-Ireland contenders, but there's just a wee bit of a doubt about them. But you know, you'd have to expect at Pier Stadium they're going to come through it. But you know, could Mark and Westmeath upset the odds once again?
Yeah, definitely one of the games of the weekend that I'm looking forward to the most anyway. Let's move on to the Donegal Miners, Ryan. Massive weekend for Carlisle's side. It's the Tier 2 All-Ireland final against Louth on Saturday night. At the start of the year, possibly would have had ambitions of being at the latter stages of the top tier competition maybe, but now that this one is in front of them, they'll be really looking to go on and win it.
Ah, yeah, like I'm sure they would have had aspirations, Mark. And, you know, and look, it's fine margins. You know, I seen the game that they played in the semi-final of Ulster against Derry. You know, they lost by 1 point. They had loads of the ball. It could have very easily went their way. They lost it on fine margins. And since then, they've beaten Dublin by a point and Down after extra time. So, you know, maybe they have learned the lessons from that defeat against Derry. I suppose... Yeah, like there'll be a disappointment that they're not in the tier one, but you know, you look at the counties that have been in the tier two. You know, the Dublin, Monaghan, Down, you know, Cavan, who all had good minor teams this year. It's been a very open minor championship, and you know, Donegal are playing Louth now. Louth are going well at underage level, so it's a decent Donegal team. They've put in a lot of hard work. They've had a lot of tight games, and you know, I think it would really close out the season for them well. You know, and you know, push people on if they could get a wee bit of silverware in the athletic rounds. It's just a pity the timing of the game, Mark. Like it's you know, like 7:30 on the Saturday evening when you know. You're probably looking at 15,000-16,000 Donegal people in McCool Park for 3 o'clock. It's not going to be easy getting out of Bally Buffet. It's you know, I know it's not easy organising these games, but you know, you just fear that there'll probably not be a huge amount of support for these Donegal youngsters.
And saying that, would you see Donegal maybe as slight favourites going into this game?
I suppose it's very hard to call our Donegal slight favourites. You know, Louth had a good victory over Monaghan in the last game. Donegal beat Monaghan, but after a real big comeback. So, but I suppose you have to remember these lads are you know, mainly 17, a few 16-year-olds in there. You know, so like, is the form guide really anything to judge it off? You know, there's probably a bit of nerves in a big final. So, you know, I don't really know who you could say is favourites for it, but I'm sure both teams will be eyeing up the silverware. And you know, it would be, you know, Donegal haven't had a lot of silverware at underage level over the last 10 years, so it would be a boost to the county if Carlisle's team could get the victory.
Sure would. And you talk about a busy Saturday. Well, the senior ladies are also out on Saturday at the same time as the men. They get underway at 3 o'clock at Parnell Park, away to All-Ireland champions Dublin to kick off their All-Ireland series. That is just about as tough a test as it gets for James Daly and the girls.
Yeah, it is. Like it's a definitely a tough game against a really informed Dublin side. Again, you know, I know the LGFA had their fixtures out first, so maybe you're looking at the GAA this time around. That could their fixtures have been worked so that the two games weren't clashing? And probably an example of how integration can't happen quickly enough, Mark. But it's going to be a tough task for Donegal. You know, Dublin are a strong side. Now Dublin had a tough league, but they've bounced back well in the Leinster Championship. And you know, they got the better of Mayo in the first game last week. Suppose you're looking at it from a Donegal perspective, you know, you've Mayo at home next week, and that's probably the big game in this group. You'd be thinking that Donegal could if they beat Mayo, you know, they'll probably go through. But so, you know, they need a big performance in Parnell Park. I think it's probably going to be a tough ask to get the result, but you know, something to build on maybe for the next week against Mayo. And you know, but you never know how it'll go. Maybe it'll be a really good day for the green and gold on Saturday.
That's it. Maybe just a word on the ladies. It emerged there that Ciara McGarvey and Jodie McFadden have been dropped from the panel due to disciplinary breaches to do with Termin's All Ireland Gaeltacht games in which both were involved. What do you make of that situation, Ryan?
Well, I suppose I don't know an awful lot about it, Mark. It's definitely a strange situation at this time of the season, and but obviously, you know, James Daly feels he's got to make a stance on it. You know, and like it certainly weakened his setup. You know, Kieran McGarvey and Jody McFadden are two scoring forwards, and you know there'll be considerable losses for Donegal going forward. But it looks like, you know, the management have drawn a line under it now, and you know Donegal will have to go forward without them, and it'll be a big task, and it'll be interesting to see if there's any more fallout to it in the coming weeks and months.
And no Roisin Rogers either this weekend, which makes that the mountain against Dublin a wee bit higher to climb. Just finally for this evening, Ryan, the under 20 ladies are playing Tyrone in the first ladies under 20 Ulster final tomorrow night in Fermanagh. There's good work being done at underage level here, and obviously a good crop of players coming through. Who do you think would be fancied ahead of that game, Ryan, against Tyrone tomorrow night?
Yeah, well, like Donegal and Tyrone played in the first game in this competition, and Donegal won by 6-14 to 2-10. So if you're basing it off that, you'd have to expect that Donegal would be tipped. But I suppose the one caveat to that, Mark, is that this is the first year of this competition, and you know, by all accounts, maybe Tyrone hadn't started training quite as early as Donegal had. So, you know, perhaps the gap has closed in intervening time. You know, I think in fairness to both of these counties, you know, they've really embraced, because I think some of the counties haven't, which is surprising, particularly, you know, with ladies football, where, you know, a lot of girls break through early, but, you know, you've got to keep an eye on the players that maybe aren't just ready when they're 16, 17. So I think Donegal and Tyrone have both taken the right attitude to the competition. I know it's a bit of an awkward one for Donegal with the leaving certs going on in the minute, and there's some girls are still doing exams right up until the Friday evening, which is far from ideal, really. Again, you'd have to wonder about the scheduling, Mark. But, you know, listen, I think Donegal will go into the game with confidence. Paul Gillespie and Desi McNamara have stepped up from the under-16 ladies team last year to take the under-20s, and, you know, it would be... it'd be a good day in Fermanagh if they could land the silverware.
Christoph, Ryan, thanks very much for joining us. I'll let you get back to the planning ahead of the weekend, and here's hoping we see all four Donegal teams win over the weekend. What do you think?
A sure thing, I would imagine.
Good stuff, Ryan, thanks very much, take care.
Thank you, Mark.
Now, as if that wasn't enough football for this weekend, there's also a full round of fixtures in the Donegal All-County Leagues. Tonight sees the meeting of Naoise Conall and Gweedore in Division 1, while on Sunday in the top division, Glenswilly host Naoise Lower Rosses, St Dunan's play Sean McCool's, Four Masters face Kilcare, it's Eriu Ballyshannon against St Michael's, Gweedore play Dunloe, and Naoise Conall are at home to Termin. There are two games on tonight in Division 2. Mallon are up against Clonmacnoise, and Buncrana go up against Ardra. Both of those games throw in at 8 o'clock. Well, the clock has beaten us for this episode of The Score. If you missed anything and you want to have a listen back, you will, as always, be able to listen back to the full episode over on the playback section of our website at highlandradio.com or over on the Radio Player app. I've been your host, Mark Gallagher. Thank you very much for listening in. Enjoy the abundance of sport this weekend, and I'll be chatting to you all again very soon. Take care.